At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. The Sacramento Kings were trying to do something they have not done since 2003-2004, and that is win 8 consecutive games, headed to Milwaukee to wrap up a 3-game road trip. What was it going to look like without Malik Monk in the lineup? Could the Kings do the improbable and win 8 straight games? No. The Bucks came out swinging after they got absolutely blasted by the Knicks the other night. They came out firing against the Kings, and Sacramento had no answer. The Bucks had 47 points in the first quarter, outscoring Sacramento 47-26. Kings pretty much played them even the rest of the way, but it wasn't enough. The Bucks cruised to a 130-115 victory. Giannis with a triple-double. The win streak is over for Sacramento. They head back home 2-1 on this 3-game road trip. Now 20-20 on the season with a huge matchup Thursday night. TNT against the Houston Rockets. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan in San Francisco. How you doing, Mo?
I'm good. I'm fine. It would have been so fun to continue this magical win streak. They were going to have to lose at some point, and 2-1 road trip. There's just so many things to be happy about, but I think ultimately with some of the ways that they played, like especially in this first quarter, we can break down and not be happy about.
Yeah, that's where they lost the game tonight. And they still had a chance, right? They dug themselves out of that hole. When you're down by 28 at one point in this game, and they got it to 11. And when you get to 11, I'm like, oh my God, are they going to pull this shit off? But then you have to just play perfect basketball, and the Kings just did not play perfect basketball tonight. I mean, to start this game, defensively, they were just a mess. I mean, the amount of times Giannis got downhill, which, I mean, he's one of the best players we've seen in a long-ass time, and the Kings just, like, had no answer for him. The Kings started this game with Keegan Murray on Lopez. Sabonis was defending Giannis, and then you had Keon Ellis on Dame Lillard. Problem was, Kings were missing some shots, and then the Bucks were just getting the ball up the floor and Giannis in attack mode, and they couldn't do anything about it. The points in the paint in the first quarter were staggering. In the first quarter, 18-8, and the Bucks were 9-10 in the paint. Sacramento 4-10. Ugh.
It was staggering, but what's wild too is that the way that they were scoring in the paint, and then it was ultimately leading to even better looking 3-point shots, and they ended up knocking down 7 in that first quarter. But going back to what you're saying, just in the paint scoring for the Bucks, there was no resistance there. And it wasn't just like, oh, there was no resistance on Giannis. Felt like Dame was getting in. It felt like other guys were still getting in. And then that spray three was just working for them. So even when they collapsed, they just weren't quick enough on their feet. And I was thinking, is this because it's the final game of the road trip? Were legs tired? Were they not locked in? I don't know what it was to start, but also maybe it was just the Bucks coming in and being like, no, we're gonna dominate this shit because of our last loss too.
The Bucks also had 8 second chance points in the first quarter. Giannis had 15 points, four assists, four rebounds in the first quarter. Dame had 10 points in the first quarter. And, I mean, you get down 47-26, and it was frustrating for sure. I think the one sequence that was like really annoying, the key, it was a 2 point game. It was 17-15, and then the Bucks go on a 21-2 run, but this weird ass sequence. It's like halfway through the quarter, 6:41 to go, when it's a 2 point game, 17-15. Fox is out of the game at this point. They take Fox out, okay? And they put Herter in there with Devin Carter and Trey Lyles. Excuse me. It was Ellis, Herter, DeMar, Keegan, Sabonis. My apologies, okay? At that point, then when they take Fox out. Anyway, Giannis goes to the line, misses one of two. They get the second chance opportunity, and then Keon fouls Dame on a three and one. The Kings have to lead the league in fouling 3-point shooters. I know it's hard in today's game, but it's just so frustrating that that's a 5-point swing right there, and it's easy.
Yeah, that and those plays become even more deflating when you're already down, when you're already not doing certain things right. And to see that happen, obviously, with Dame, I felt like there's a lot of times in that first quarter, especially where like the 50-50 ball or that extra opportunity, second chance opportunity, the offensive rebound for the Bucks, it went in their favor. But I also think because that extra effort was there for them, they were locked in, they were a little bit more aggressive, and the Kings were not matching that physicality right from the start.
And then the Kings' inability to score at the rim. I mean, they missed so many good looks in that first quarter. And I thought, like, initially, the Kings were playing with good pace. I was worried about that going into this game. No Malik Monk, and he's been really, really sharp during this NBA game streak. The only thing he hasn't been doing well is hitting the three efficiently.
Yeah.
But I mean, his playmaking, just being in attack mode, generating good looks for the offense. He means so much to this team. And tonight I'm like, all right, what's it going to look like without him? Like, are they going to play with that same pace? Here's a few times I felt like it got a little stagnant without him out there, but I thought the pace early was fantastic. It was almost too fast at times where Sacramento was maybe getting, it was too chaotic, it felt like.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on the, because like I remember looking at that in tonight's game, and I felt like, oh, are they pushing the pace? And I'm like, yeah, but Deuce, De'Aaron had mentioned this in the beginning of the season. There's a difference between pace and tempo. And you know, the tempo of the game with Malik Monk, surprisingly, has been more controlled,
Yep.
or you know, like there's something efficient that's going to happen out of that speed. Where without him tonight, it just felt like you kind of said, chaotic, fast-paced basketball, where they were just trying to push up the floor and run on the Bucks, which sometimes can lead to something. But I think the Bucks were just too locked in too.
Yeah. I'm looking at the fast break points. It was 7-5 Sacramento, but check this out. The Kings had 13 attempts on fast breaks, okay? 13. They were 3 of 13 on fast break opportunities tonight. The Bucks were 2 for 3.
Wow.
3 for 13, Morgan. So
Wow.
like it was just missing good looks, missing around, and everybody was to blame on that. But yeah, I thought the game swung once Fox went out when it was a 2 point game, 17-15. By the time he came back in, it was 31-17. So I mean, it was still a game, but it was just rolling. And then it seemed like everybody was knocking down shots for the Bucks. I don't know, man. I just was a little disappointed. You know, Giannis is going to do that against almost everybody. I just don't want it to be that easy. And one thing going into the game, my thought was, yeah, he put Sabonis on him. Sabonis defended him last year, and it wasn't bad at all. Like, Sabonis was pretty effective too. Like, I'm cool with that. He can absorb the contact. But you know, I don't feel like it worked tonight. I thought at times it did, but like The problem is in transition when you got Sabonis on his heels. It's one thing if the Bucks are setting up in the half court and Sabonis can, you know, take those body blows and make life more difficult if Giannis is attacking. It's the transition stuff, the early offense stuff that I thought really impacted things.
Well, and that question was asked in the postgame presser to Doug, like, hey, you made that tweak of Keegan late in this game on Giannis instead of Sabonis. Like, why didn't you go to that earlier? And Doug was talking about basically how, look, we just were seeing how things were going. And then we made that adjustment as the game was flowing as it was, because we realized as Giannis was bringing the ball up the floor, we need to put pressure on Giannis bringing the ball up the floor. And that's not what Domas is going to do. He's not going to pick him up at the half court mark. He's not going to pick him up in the backcourt where someone like Keegan could. And I just wish, kind of like you're saying, that that adjustment was made sooner. But at the same time, like, Doug Christie's only been the head coach for how many games now? 9 games?
Yeah, 7-2 with Doug now. I'm with you. I gotta be honest, I didn't think Keegan was gonna be able to deal with Giannis because I just, you know, Giannis is so strong. But Keegan in that fourth quarter, he took some blows and he was pressuring him. I thought he did a nice job on Giannis, and hindsight's 20/20 on my end, but like, yeah, they should have gone to that faster. Because in that third quarter too, like, Giannis was just coming down court and just walking in the mid-range shots. The guy's been a really effective mid-range shooter this year, and you were giving him that much space where he's walking into it. I mean, it was literally a practice shot. So it's like, all right, yeah, you don't want it, Giannis getting downhill on you and attacking the basket, but you also don't want Giannis to just walk into his mid-range looks. Like, to me, I want to pressure him sooner to make him give the ball up. I can, you know what I mean?
Yes. Oh God. Yes. No, I'm so with you on that. You don't want him creating the play, the action, being on top of it, leading the way, right? Like, you wanted him to have to not only think twice and disrupt whatever they're used to, but also, like, if he were to get the ball back, maybe it's not with so much ease, right? I thought the way that he was coming into the jump shot was disappointing, that it wasn't, that those adjustments even weren't made a little sooner, or like maybe some pressure on him when he had the ball, when he was putting the ball on the floor. I think they tried throwing a double at him a few times. I liked it when the Kings started blitzing even more in that second half.
On Dame, especially when Giannis was out of the game.
Yes. And they what it does, I feel like, for this team is make them more aggressive, and like, it gives them this certain energy, like, okay, shit, we're going to pop around like this then. And they feed off that energy. But yeah, that'd been something else I like to see.
So they got scored in the first 47-26. They played them even in the second quarter. The Kings outscored the Bucks by 1 in the third, and then they outscored Milwaukee by 5 in the fourth, 33-28. And you lose by 15. That it sucks, you know. You have a little better quarter, you feel good about your chance of maybe rallying back. But also, I thought part of the problem is, like, there was no, like, playing even in those situations is just not good enough. Like, I don't even know what the Kings' biggest run was in this game. It felt like any time they had a stretch where they hit a three, it's like, oh, they cut into it, the Bucks would come down and score immediately. It's like, oh my God, man. Like, It didn't seem like they had much success getting multiple stops at all in this game. And then the offense, I think, let them down tonight. I mean, the bench was atrocious. You know, we've been giving love to, like, Trey Lyles and what he's been able to contribute, and he couldn't knock down shots tonight. You know, he ends up only playing, I mean, they only play like 12 minutes in this game. I mean, he just, for as good as he was, this was something we talked about, like, some of these bigger teams are going to give you problems, right? The Kings just don't have the size. And when you look at Milwaukee, it's like, all right, you got Giannis, you got Lopez who could stretch the floor. Oh, and Bobby Portis. Like, God damn, man. What can we throw at these guys?
Like, I was asked even in the pregame show about, you know, like, oh, everything's looking good, 7-game win streak. Like, are we kind of at the point where it's like, kind of go forward with this? I'm like, no. No, because
even you mean with the team you're talking about?
with the roster as it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, ultimately every other team is longer, bigger, you know, they have so much more to add when it comes to length. And you're seeing that flaw being exposed in games like this. And not just because it's a loss, not just because of that, but that obviously is a huge part of it, but also because, you know, that is ultimately what is around the entire league. And even if not every single matchup is going to be just that long and strong and whatever, but yeah, it's obvious in games like this where it's like, oh, if you just had that one more long guy that could just be there for you when Domas is in foul trouble or Keegan isn't playing well or isn't even, or his body isn't right or whatever it is. It just, you just need to make sure that that's the tweak that you're looking for.
The 47 points by the Bucks was a season high in a quarter this year for them. Yeah. The other thing, points in the paint end up being 48-36. There are some good things. Like, Sacramento didn't get shredded in the paint in the second half. I believe the number was they only allowed 14 points in the second half in the paint.
Okay.
But the Kings only had 36, and they were 18 of 34 in the paint. So think about the fast break opportunities, missing shots around the rim, missing some easy looks. And when you miss those looks, I mean, that's just deflating. Like, maybe you got a guy on the ground because there was a great contest by Giannis or Lopez, which we saw multiple times, or just missing tough looks around the rim. And then they are just getting that ball out, and they are going and creating good offense. The Bucks end up knocking down 17 of 45 from three. Sacramento 17 of 42 from three, which is a good sign, 40% for them. But yeah, I mean, there was some good. I mean, there was some, not enough.
Even you talking about the three-pointers for the Kings, with the amount that they were missing to start the game, like, Keegan had two airballed threes.
Dude.
And those were just like, again, you were already, this team was already attacking the paint, making their threes. Who was it? Like, AJ Green, and it was Torian Prince with their 45% three-point shooters, but they were just getting these looks that were far too simple, far too easy. And then the Kings, when they had a decent look, weren't knocking down their three in the beginning. So it was nice at least that they got some things going. That's the thing about this game. I think we can break down quarter by quarter. Also, like, the overall thing that I said to you before we actually started the show was, I really liked the fight. I liked the fight with the amount of adversity that they were faced in this game, that they kept fighting through it. And the reason why, that sounds like low standards, whatever, I don't give a shit, because I'm not going
to
say
it's
that.
Not low standards to me. When you're down 28 and you get blitzed in the first,
thank you,
you don't roll over. And they cut it to 11. They just, they weren't good enough tonight. And I appreciate a team that doesn't just roll over. Now, if that's all they did, that's a different story.
And I'm not going to say that all the time. It's, to me, this is like the start of Doug Christie as head coach. And I want to see like how they react to adversity now that they felt the honeymoon stage of the 7-game win streak.
That's a good point. And it's not going to be easy because Thursday it's the Rockets. It's a TNT game. The last time the Rockets were here, the Kings did beat them, but remember all the drama? It got physical. It got nasty. Ejections galore. Houston's tough. So they're going to be coming for you. They're going to be coming for you strong. And it's going to be really interesting to see what that looks like. Other stuff from this game before we jump ahead, I thought Debo had some awesome moments in this game. Like, he kind of helped chip away at the lead, got to his spots, hit some big time shots. He ends up with 28 points. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, knocked down 2 of 4 from downtown, 9 of 18 shooting. He was 8 of 9 at the free throw line.
I love it. Not only being only missing one free throw, but I thought the way that he was shooting again, even to start, I was like, damn, is this going to be one of those games where he's just going to keep shooting, even if it's not the best look, even if it's not the best shot, even though when Dame's on him or something, it's like, yeah, go. When you understand your size, make sure to get your turnaround jumper, do what you need to do. I loved that he kept shooting and that they started to fall. And I say that because I think we've seen some inefficient shooting games from him as of late, even though, when he was making his buckets in these games that I'm talking about is when they mattered most. And I felt like tonight it was the buckets that he was making just after missing a few and just needed to keep shooting. And I'm glad that it got going.
Yeah, I thought he had a good game in this game. The starters had some nice moments tonight. It's the bench. When you look at the bench scoring, they got absolutely destroyed. I think the leading score off the bench was Herter, 7 points, but he was part of that group in the first quarter that got shredded. Devin Carter was just 1 of 6. He was 0 of 4 from downtown. There was one shot that Devin Carter took, and I'm like, all right, I like the confidence, but let's turn it down just a little bit, okay? All right, there's like 12 seconds on the shot clock. You got Giannis switched out to you in the corner, and you take a three. I'm like, tap the brakes here. Maybe you put the ball on the floor, give me a little cross step back, or go hard to the basket, draw a foul. We're not launching a tough three with your slow-ass release, bringing it from... I'm sorry, that's Giannis that's defending you.
Sometimes you have to learn through experience.
Sure.
Sometimes you have to learn the hard way, or you just have to learn through now watching that film and going like, yeah, I don't know what the shit I was doing.
Let's see, who else off the bench tonight? Oh, we saw Jay Crowder randomly. Jay Crowder made an appearance for the first time. He played 2.5 minutes. They also went to Alex Len in the second half to throw on Giannis, and it was just like... That's when you know Doug's just like, what else do we have to throw on him? Like, we'll throw one other guy that's head size. But I think the lesson here is you obviously have to throw some different looks. But even if Sabonis is on him in the next matchup, like, just pressure him a little bit more. Just pressure him a little bit more and take those bumps. Just have your hands out. I know he could draw fouls and you don't want Sabonis in foul trouble. I acknowledge all that. It's easier said than done. Giannis got his shit too easy tonight. And that was my problem. It was, yeah, he got his numbers. He gets his numbers every night. This is what he does. But to have a triple-double this effectively, I didn't like it.
This is what you do for the next game, the adjustment you make. You start Keegan on Giannis if Giannis is bringing down the ball. You start Domas on Giannis if Giannis is starting in a half court set. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's where, because I think if Keegan is putting that pressure on Giannis, then they're going to be like, no, we want, you know, we want Dame to keep taking up the ball. We want whoever. Okay, then great. Then you switch on Domas. You know, having that adjustment and that awareness could be a plan going forward, but Giannis is still going to get his. It's just about disrupting, slowing down.
The poll question tonight, Morgan, was how do you feel about a 2-1 road trip? The options are amazing. Let's go. And blah, tonight was not good. What do you think's in the lead right now, if you were to guess?
Oh, don't tell me it's blah.
67% of people say amazing, let's go.
Me too!
33% say blah, tonight was not good.
Yay. No, I'm amazing, let's go.
Tonight wasn't good, but it's still, I'll take that trip. I'll take 2-1.
Come on, I predicted... that they were only going to beat the Bulls on this road trip. I didn't
what
know
I what say. What I say.
You said 2-1.
Thank you. I said 2-1. And you know what I'm going to say about the upcoming homestand?
No.
It's a 3-game homestand. Houston, Washington, Golden State.
Huh?
I need 3-0.
You're nuts, dude.
No. Golden State, slap those clowns around. Washington, okay. You're not losing to Washington this year. If you lose to Washington, pack it up. It is all over. We will have a shovel out. We're just burying this season, okay? You're not losing to Washington. The Houston game's a challenge, but you're at home. Like, let's bounce back. Let's see what it looks like. Like, let's see 2-1 minimum. But the two wins, you can't lose to Washington. Can't happen.
That's going to be the one they lose.
Could you imagine they beat the Rockets? What a bounce back and lose to Washington?
Oh, I absolutely can imagine. What do you mean?
I'd be like, so disgusted.
It would be, but we've also seen Washington have some weird moments against some better teams. But also, we can't sit here today after the small sample size of the Kings and say we know exactly who they're going to be. I think we have an idea of what they can be when they're all healthy and in full strength.
Well,
but
I think part of it too is like, I think we might have hit this last podcast potentially. I think how the Kings are playing right now over this stretch with Doug 7-2 is more like the team stylistically that we thought we would see this year, right? And now, guys, you know, you got Devin in the fold. Keon's playing minutes. He's been impactful. We got to talk about him, too. You know, Trey had been better. It's like, oh, okay, this makes more sense. It doesn't mean it wasn't flawed, all that stuff, but I think we connect more with, like, oh, that team before, underachieving, had some injuries, the Mike Brown thing. Like, there's a lot of messy things. This is more the team we see. But that remains to be seen. Like, we don't know. We really don't know. You're right. It's like, this team lost six in a row. They won seven in a row. Now we get a really good test coming up here at home, and it's going to be fascinating. There is some concern I have a little bit, just being honest. You know, I'm not superstitious, but as things get more serious, my mind does go that route. We were on First Team All Kings Haters podcast, Kevin O'Connor. He invited us on. I didn't want to go on, really. And then I went, you know, we're going to go on, and we're going to challenge him. And I thought we did a great job challenging Kevin O'Connor. But here's the thing. Like, we go on a seven-game streak. The Kings are 0-1 since we went on a KOC's podcast.
Deuce.
Are you worried about those vibes at all?
They're not even superstitious, and you're literally going to blame KOC.
Look, I'm not there yet, but if this thing goes to hell, I might. Dude.
No, they do not give him the power. Do not give him that energy. Do not. And besides, we had fun. We had fun shitting on him.
God. It was so fun shitting on him. My favorite part of that podcast was when he was like not understanding that why Kings fans didn't like him. I'm just like, I'm sorry. Are you being real right now?
He was such, and I'll say that he was a really good sport with it all, because we came winging. We're like, no, you're going to listen here. You're not going to apologize, but you're going to give everyone the love. We like demanded things.
I promise I'm not superstitious. I just thought it was funny. It's like, of course, we go on his pod and they lose a game.
Good that we went on before this loss.
Question for you. How much do you think the Kings offense missed Malik Monk tonight?
I got asked that same question and I said a lot. And I don't think that's always going to be the case, because, I mean, we just saw this offense in this streak without Keegan at one point, without De'Aaron at one point. But Monk has been there. But I think what you saw, what was lacking tonight, was that playmaking energy. Even if Malik isn't the one specifically passing the ball and getting the assists, or in the two-man game with Sabonis, he's moving. He's energetic. Yeah. He's adding some sort of spark that is truly needed with this team. And not to say this team doesn't figure out how to fight and come back and face adversity, but no, Malik adds such a special spark, and that playmaking was missing.
Yeah, it just felt like even the off-ball movement from others just wasn't there, you know, especially in that first half. And lately, the ball with Malik in his hand, there's just energy with it, like you were just talking about. And that two-man action creates stuff. But then you're seeing other guys move around. And it felt like at times you're like, okay, like, are anybody going to move on this possession? It's like, we can't just watch DeMar. And I think my big concern, and hopefully, you know, Malik's thing is not that big of a deal, is groin soreness. But, you know, groin issues, dude, that shit can linger, you know, and you have to be real careful with it. You know, all of a sudden you come back and you tweak it. You're out for a month and then you're in really bad shape. I want to see. I'm just interested to see how things function in lineups without him going forward. Hopefully he's back on Thursday. If he's not back, they got to find some other ways to produce offense with that type of movement. And I understand that, like, Fox is not the same pick and roll player with Sabonis, right? Like, Fox is more of the scoring guard who in transition can get inside the paint, attack the rim, kick out, get the ball movement. Malik just has that energy, like you were talking about, in the half court where everything's kind of moving. And they have to find a way not to lose that type of energy, even if it's different. Like, the identity can't shift dramatically just because Malik is gone.
I agree. I think there becomes more like stagnant energy or ball watching or relying on De'Aaron to go downhill or Domas to do his thing and find them if they're cutting, or DeMar to have a turnaround mid-range shot. And that's what I felt a little bit tonight at times. But again, Deuce, one game without Malik, and that's what they were trying to figure out too. You know, that's something we have to also realize, is that he had been coming off the bench for a long time. And even what he added off the bench with his minutes, with his scoring, with his playmaking, with his energy. And so, like, I think if they have a few more games without Malik, they can still figure something out.
You know who I really thought had a good game too, offensively, was Keon. And he just looks completely different offensively since Doug Christie took over. Like, not hesitating at all from three. And even late in this game when the Kings were trying to get back in this, I'm like, oh my, there you go, Keon. What? No. You're not just taking a wide open three. You're like, I'm taking this tough three because I can make it. Making a three, getting fouled on the three-pointer. What stood out to you about Keon in this game?
I want to look at his yep, that's what stood out to me. Three offensive rebounds. I thought the way that he was crashing the boards, especially there at the end.
You're not just taking a wide open. We had a refresh issue. You're good. It was on our end.
Thank you.
Okay. You go ahead about Keon. He was not just taking.
Yeah. Jebediah. Wait, he's in your. Wait, he's in that studio. Not.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought Keon, the way he was crashing the boards, just being aggressive, I thought that was providing a different type of energy, a different type of spark that they needed when they were trying to fight back. So I like that, but I also like that he was knocking down some of his long balls. Like, I thought that was great to see from him. And that was something I was hoping we were going to see from Keon, especially without Malik. Again, it just would have been nice if, like, it all came from the start for some of these guys. If they didn't get themselves in that hole, I think some of these games that we're looking at for, like, Keon, for example, it just would have, or even DeMar, it just, we still would even felt different.
So Keon ends up in this game, 5 of 8 from downtown. He had 18 points. He played 30 minutes starting in place of Malik Monk in this game. But like we said, it's just like the offense has a different identity, right? With Keon's not going to like play make like Malik, right? You know, in that lineup, his role is going to be completely different. And Fox's role is the way he plays is different than Malik Monk. So it just felt different. They got to find a way to, like I was saying, the identity has to still be like, we got to move without the ball. We got to kick out, rotate, get the ball moving, not just ISO mode and all that shit. The other thing that like I've been watching recently and just on the season, we know the Kings have been bad from three this year. Tonight, we mentioned the 40% from downtown, which is great. But, like, you know, the two guys that in the last couple of years have been better from three, De'Aaron and Malik, are just not shooting the ball well from three this year. De'Aaron on the season's at 32.5%. And since Doug took over, well, I guess that wouldn't count because he missed some games. He's hovering right around 30% from three. And Malik is around 30%. Those guys take a lot of threes. You know, like, Fox is going to take 6 to 7. Malik's going to take, like, 8, over 8. Those guys have to start knocking down some shots, because now you're seeing other guys starting to heat up. Like, Keegan's been much better from three. You know, Trey has been. Keon, Sabonis, put him in a three-point contest, dude. He shot one today, contested, and made it. It was awesome. But they need those guys to start knocking down some threes.
Yeah, and I don't know what it necessarily is, because I think, sure, there's a few when it comes to shot selection. I'm like, well, there's a hand in your face. Is that the best three? Whatever. I think what I've seen from De'Aaron a few times is maybe like a hesitation. He does so much better when he either pump fakes, gets someone up in the air, and then just a little sidestep dribble and go. Like, it just gives him that extra little bounce that he needs into his shot, into that three. For Malik, I would have to look back at some of his threes in this little stretch right now.
Game, he took some bad ones, but he's just been missing looks too.
Was it someone in his face, though, bad ones?
Just like early shot clock. Yeah. But you know, I think with De'Aaron, too, the reality is, like, last year he shot 37%. Before that, his career high was like 37% in his second year. he's been like a 32, 33% three-point shooter. And so, like, you got to kind of trust the data you have. Like, more times than not in his career, this is kind of who he is. He's really effective in the mid-range, attacking the basket. His free throw percentage is way up. He's at 80% at the line this year. Shout out to him. And Sabonis, who raised his from 70 to 78%. Kings are number two in free throw percentage last year after being dead last, which is a huge win. But anyway, Fox, this may just be who he is from three. Like, that's what he's been in his career.
And that's what I was going to ask, though. So if that is who he is, are you just saying less attempts, more mid-range? Like, are you just saying play to your game more? Like, what are you trying to say?
Yeah. I mean, I think his attempts on the season are down. Like, last year he took 7.8. It's down to, like, what is he now? 6.4 coming into tonight. But it has been trending way up lately. It's been trending up. He's taking more. I just think, you know, I even saw him in this game. Like, when he attacks, there's not many people who could defend him. You know, Andre Jackson is, like, one of their better defenders in Milwaukee. Fox blows by him off the dribble and hits, like, a lefty floater over Brook Lopez tonight. I'm like, there's not many guys in the league who can do that, you know?
And I guess, but I guess also, you know how hard it is? Think, Deuce, you can relate it to when you're out on the blacktop or playing pickup ball. When you have that one hard sprint and you're just the average Joe and how hard that can be at times for you. Like, obviously he...
I fly around. That doesn't apply to me, but go ahead.
But the one hard sprint and how that can take so much out of someone. And then you think about someone like De'Aaron, who's obviously conditioned to do such a thing and is doing the hard sprint and then taking the hard blows also on the defensive end with the way that he has mostly been playing on ball. My point to this being is, how do you find, when that is your skill set, how do you find the balance too of being able to be effective without having to have like that quick short sprint in the mid range, in the short range, to the basket, whatever, every single time? And I think that's why it is important that he keeps developing his 3-point game and that he doesn't just do it at practice or in the off season, that he does it in game as well. I don't know. Because I also understand, too, what you're kind of saying, like, oh, can that be what he is? And it's like, yeah, maybe, but maybe not. And, like, as a player, you got to keep on pushing through and try developing that, too.
Sabonis, by the way, we mentioned his free throw percentage being at 78%. He was one assist shy, I think, tonight of a triple-double. He had 16, 10, and 9 on 6-9 shooting. He has officially made more threes than last season and attempted more threes than last season.
Wow.
He played all 82 games last year, took 87 three-point attempts on the season. This year, he is 42 of 89. He is 47.2% from three, which is the best on the team. He took one tonight. I know I mentioned a couple minutes ago that was... I feel like a lot of his are just open now, right? Like, teams are just like, yeah, okay, that's cute. We'll prove it, man. Let's see if you actually shoot it. Are you going to be confident enough? He is confident. He took that big one late in the game. I think that was the Houston game when they were trying to mount a comeback in overtime. And then tonight, there was one, like, there was somebody on him, and he just launched it. I'm like, dude, the growth there, game-changing.
Every time I get a little surprised, and I'm like, oh, are you sure? Yes, you sure? When it falls in, and the confidence there too, he's not hesitating, but he definitely is more patient with his shot because people aren't respecting it fully. Even when someone is on him, that it gives, like, he is understanding exactly how much space he needs.
He only took 9 shots tonight. I would like that number to be up. How much was that because Monk, and he's not getting the ball in the same spots because of the Bucks defense with Giannis and Lopez? I think those are all factors in this game tonight. What? What are you smiling about?
Just smiling.
Oh, just that's what you do? Sometimes in the pod, you just smile at the camera?
Smile. Yeah, I'm like a pretty happy person.
I don't notice because normally I'm just like staring at the camera and you're next to me. But sometimes with you on the road, I'll look at the monitor and see you and you're just like,
I'm smiling
next to you the whole time too.
I don't feel that energy all the time from you.
I'm smiling because of you. I'm smiling because, like, I'm happy doing a podcast.
I do have a question for you. Did you have a song prepared if they won 8 in a row?
You know, it's funny. I started preparing one, and then I was like, this would be – you can't just force a song after a really fun song, you know? You have to just, like
– Were you surprised at the feedback you got off that song?
Yes. What the shit? Okay, a few things. Oh, my favorite line. My favorite line, dude.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about this comment, and I can't get it out of my head because I keep laughing, and I love it. I love it. And it's kind of an insult, but I love it. It's the person that said that I'm singing without consent, basically, and that they're choosing to watch us, but they get the ick and, like, they cringe when I sing. And in some ways, I can totally understand that. And I think that's why I'm like, oh, I get what their comment is saying. But at the same time, you're choosing to click on our podcast and you might get a song. You might get something that makes you cringe. You might get the ick when we're on. Who knows? But either way, you chose to go in that direction.
I'm trying to find. Oh, here's the comment, dude. And by the way, this guy listens to the podcast. He likes the podcast. This person's not being mean at all with it.
It froze. So go on.
Uh-oh.
No, we're good.
It's saying your internet connection's. Okay, are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to read the comment you're referencing because it is hilarious. He says, about Morgan singing, I appreciate you guys, but non-consensual singing at people is a crime. If you wouldn't sit and have to listen to someone else sing, you shouldn't force people to listen to your singing either. It's cruel and unusual. I don't deserve it. Not that it's a bad thing or anything. It's just real uncomfortable. And I'm like, in my head, my initial reaction is, what? I have in my life never heard anyone say non-consensual sing. What? You're watching a podcast. We're idiots. We sing. We laugh. We do stupid bits. I'm like, hey, Matthew, you do know that you could skip ahead a bit, right? Sorry we're having too much fun for you. He says, it's uncomfortable, but I suppose you're right. I can skip it. At least I'll tell you how I feel about it as an audience member. But you do your shtick, and I'm sure plenty will find it charming. I just shouldn't have to share the same opinion as a crowd. I just don't like it. I'm having fun with everything else. The Kings wins, even the losses, I don't really mind. It's an 82-game season, and we're bound to lose. I'm quite happy and have fun. I just have an uncomfortable body shiver to the cringe stuff. But I guess that's television. You put yourself out there, and sometimes everything lands. I'm like, oh, shit, man.
He's, I feel like.
I appreciate his honesty.
And I do, too. But I feel like he's also projecting what he would never want to do and what, like, embarrasses him or makes him feel uncomfortable, whatever it is. But I thought his breakdown of telling us why it makes him feel that way, I was like, this is a very deep, honest feel. Anyway, that wasn't the majority of the feedback.
It was amazing feedback, yeah.
That feedback stood out to me, so I loved it. Even though it wasn't even the best, I still loved it. And then, otherwise that, I thought the weirdest one that I kept getting, people impressed with me hitting a note because I don't think I was really hitting it. Like, I think you can in like musical theater, like you can exaggerate something to try and get there. And I think that's what I was trying to do. And so people being like, wow, she hit that note. And I'm like, no, a real singer would not say that I hit that note. So anyway, it was fun.
It was fun. The other one I liked on Reddit was someone accusing me of not being a cheerleader for you. Like, dude, I was trying to fire off the fog to make. There's a lot going on. I love Morgan singing. I want to get to.
Go on.
I want to get to a couple more things. Let's hear a little bit of Doug Christie after this Kings game. Here's Doug talking about this Kings loss.
We're super proud of our guys. 35-15 run in the first quarter. Obviously, 47 points. Totally unacceptable. Giannis really got it going early, but after that, played them solid and learning. Continue to 42 threes is a good number for us. We want to bump that up even more, but end of a road trip. Now we got to go home and try to take care of business.
Seemed like Keegan, in late in the game, guarded Giannis, I guess, as well as he could have.
Yeah.
Why go to Keegan so late? It seems like you guys were using Domas and the big guys early.
Yeah, Domas has, the last couple seasons, has guarded Giannis, and his physicality has been good. There was a point where Giannis started bringing the ball up the court with absolutely zero pressure, and that's not Domas's thing, so that was the big switch. A lot of times they run the small screen and roll. It's not always with a guard. Sometimes it was with Keegan's guy, so we still had the ability to switch him off, and it's just adjustments throughout the game, trying to figure out the recipe to slow and generational all-time player down. I mean, you're not gonna stop him, like I said in the pregame. You just wanna slow him down. But Keegan did a really good job, and he just continues to grow offensively, defensively, because that's one hell of an assignment.
And how do you reflect? I know it's a very small sample size relative to a full season, but just 7-game winning streak, given the circumstances, how do you reflect on that, and what are the things that you are gonna try to pull from that going forward?
I mean, to be honest with you, the only thing that I am really solid on is that we continue to solidify our identity. Like, you come and you play extremely hard and you play extremely physical and you get after it for 48 minutes with the talent that we got most times, you're going to walk away with a W in this league. That's number one, is this is how we play. And I will say that the fight, the continuous effort, the togetherness that they showed in that is how you get a 7-game winning streak in the NBA. So for me, it's really that simple. It's just like, continue to define yourself. And I think that they've started down that path in a really good way.
Is there, aside from Giannis doing what he did in the first quarter, is there anything else that stuck out to you about that opening frame when you guys spoke?
I think Dame had a 4-point play. You know, that 1-2 action with theirs is really tough. There were some bounces, obviously. Also, that didn't go our way. The behind-the-back pass that Giannis threw that kind of bumped around and made its way through. Like, during a streak, you need some of those things to go your way. And it wasn't from a lack of effort. It's just sometimes that's how it happens. They got a lot of bounces in that first frame, and, you know, kudos to them because they're a really good ball club. So other than that, I have to go back and watch the film because it happens fast, man.
There's Doug Christie, who has officially gotten the coach speak down. Got to go back and watch the film. It's so true. People get so mad when they hear coaches say that. And I would tell any head coach, don't say it, because you don't win. Like, we know you have to go back and watch the film, but we want to know what happened now. Like, your first reaction. We do a podcast for 90 minutes. You know what? Annoyed I get at myself when I miss something and I go back and watch a game. I'm like, how did I not see that live? Like,
And stop right there.
Yeah.
It's hilarious that you're saying, like, just don't say that, because you called me and you said, it's kind of annoying that you're not coming back to Sacramento first, because it gives me time to go back and watch the film of what actually happened in that first quarter against the Bucks. You wanted to go back, and so then you could actually describe not only what was in your memory, but so then it was like there were specific plays that you could also back up your points with. And that's all that Doug Christie is trying to do.
You know, I agree with him, but fans like take it like it's a cop out, or like, oh, come on, man, you should know. And it's like, no. I promise you, when you go back and watch a game and you like stop it, watch film, you will see things that there's no way you notice live. That's just the reality of it. And you're like, oh my God, that's how that happened? Or, oh, what? Man, that positioning was weird by this player, this bounce of this. So it is super beneficial to go back and watch games again if you're a basketball sicko like us. The other thing I wanted to bring up. Oh, one more thing. Can I complain for a second?
For what?
I just felt like the Kings were not getting any and ones tonight on continuation, and the Bucks got like every one of them. Like, DeMar definitely should have had an and one. No. And then like the next play down, you see the Bucks get one. I'm like, can we get some consistency here? What's continuation? What's not continuation?
Get it.
I didn't know if you noticed that.
Didn't bother me in a game like this.
All right, no. We should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. Morgan, we are all one with Golden One. How about you use that QR code and sign up today? You could see their full range of services. Plus, if you join, you can get up to 50% off Kings home games, Morgan Reagan.
Yeah, and you can get 15% off merch at the Kings team store. And you raise that card up in the sky high when you are at a Kings game. And your seats can get upgraded. Mm. And you can get so many other opportunities to win so many other fun things. But it's just also a great place to start your financial journey, go in the right direction. So why don't you just go start today?
Yeah, go to GoldenOne.com because we are all one.
One.
We're Golden One. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors, Morgan.
I was going to say simply the best. Trust Northwest.
And well, that's their tagline. That is their tagline. Congratulations. And I'm glad you started with that because that should be top of mind when you think about what they can do for you. You need new windows. Who doesn't like a new window? Do you want your windows to rattle? Is that fun?
Ooh.
Oh, the wind comes by. It's like, you hear it clank. What? Ooh. Oh, it's cold. Why do I feel that draft? Because you need new windows. My house looks kind of ugly on the outside. What's missing? You need new windows. I need to save money on my energy bill. You need new windows, Morgan.
And they have a great deal going on right now. So if you've been intimidated by like, oh, how many windows do I need? What can I do this for? Make sure to just go to their website or call, get a free quote today, and they can hook you up with this deal.
Yeah, NorthwestExteriors.com because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Northwest.
All right, chat and Morgan Reagan. Who is the simply the best player of the game tonight?
Do we have to go with the...
I'm just curious. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what direction to go. I want to see what direction you're going to take it.
Then I'm going to go positive. I'm going to go DeMar DeRozan.
You're going with DeMar DeRozan as the player of the game, the simply the best player of the game?
Correct.
Interesting perspective.
Okay, what's
he had
yours?
28 points tonight. I mean, just got to keep it real, guys. We're going with Giannis.
You just said I could do whatever I wanted, and then you kind of steered me in the other direction of, like, don't be negative.
I'm not being negative. The guy had 33 points, 13 dimes, 11 rebounds, Morgan, and he also had 2 blocks in this game. He did it on 14 of 23 shooting, 5 of 7 at the free throw line in 37 minutes. Simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors, Giannis. Dude, it's just crazy how freaky he is.
I know. I'm going to sneeze.
Bless you. There you go. Anyway, he was spectacular.
He's a freak.
The Greek freak, I see what you did there. All right, next up for the Sacramento Kings, they are back at home Thursday night, a TNT game. I think Kevin Harlan is going to be on the call for that game. Also, some rumors about Kevin Harlan today. It looks like he might be signing with Amazon to do NBA games next season.
Ooh.
No more baby. TNT, so he's going to Amazon. The Rockets in town, the Houston Rockets, and they actually have a game. They're going to be on the second I have a back-to-back, Morgan. They are playing tomorrow night in Denver.
Hell yes. Hell yes.
You got really excited. Coming into that game against Denver, they have won 4 in a row with wins over the Lakers, the Wizards, and then 2 straight wins against the Grizzlies. The last game against Memphis yesterday, Jalen Green dropped 42 points. Şengün has been really good. They did play in Sacramento December 3rd. The Kings won 120 to 111 in that game. And it was a really impressive win for the Sacramento Kings. A lot of drama. Sabonis had 27 in that game. Fox had 22. And Şengün had 24 in the loss for the Rockets. But we know how tough this team is. They like to mix it up. It got hot in that game. I think the energy in the building is going to be insane for it. 20-20 is the record for the Kings. I think fans are excited about how this team is playing. I'm fired up for that game.
I hope the energy is like that. And I hope the Kings can match that energy and not only give the fans what they deserve, but we saw them put together a few good home games during that winning streak. And I think they just have to bring that energy. They have to bring that mindset. I don't doubt that they can, but I also know that the Rockets are a good team that can be tough, that can get in their head. So how are the Kings going to react to some of these things that happen? I'm excited for the game.
Dude, I cannot wait. No letdown. Win that game, smack the Wizards, and then beat the Warriors. I need three in a row. Then you'll be 23-20. The West is insane right now. The difference between 5-12 is just three games. You're in it now. Let's keep this rolling. Let's be honest about where they're at. Let's not be naive even if they start winning games. Let's be open-minded to the fact that things still need to evolve and change for this team to get to the next level. I'm all about it now. Like, we've had a reset. You were 13-19, and now you're 20-20. Let's go, Morgan.
Let's go.
Final thoughts from you.
Final thoughts. Yeah, they were going to lose at some point, and the streak was going to end, and it ended at 7. And I'm okay with that. I hope that they bounce back from the way that they lost in this game. I know there was a lot of fight, but I want to see some good Kings basketball being played against Houston.
I'm with you. Let's lock in, everybody. And also, like, I feel like I have to remind people, we went through a stretch where it was so shitty for weeks and weeks. Losses, bad losses, close losses, coach got fired. It felt like the season was over and we were all dooming together. It was like a therapy session trying to figure out where the hell this team was going to go. They win 7 in a row, right? And they sit at 20-20. Don't let one loss take you back to doomland, okay? Like, let's be together on this. We could still be honest about the fact that this team needs moves, but it seems like one loss happens and it's like, Fox trade, Keegan sucks. Oh, you know what I mean? It's like, we don't have to, not every loss has to be an indictment on a player. It's one, yeah. Like you said, you're going to lose a game at some point. Now let's see how they respond.
And let's see how they lose and let's see how they win and let's see all the things. That's sports.
Let's keep it going. Morgan, drive safe back to Sacramento. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Make sure to drop comments after the show too. If there's something we missed, something you felt like we should have hit on, drop it in the comments. You can also email us juicemo@gmail.com. We love you guys, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
15% off everything you can fit inside the bag is back at Menards. Make painting easier by using a one coat product. Grand Distinction is an interior paint and primer in one that will give your home a fresh, updated look. Right now, get 15% off Pittsburgh products and all the painting supplies you can fit inside the bag through January 12th. See store for complete details. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.